chapter 19 is called Devotional Service in Pure Love of God. And chapter 19 is a whole wave of the eastern side of the ocean of nectar. Nectar of the ocean. So there are four sides, and different sides have different number of waves. Southern side has five waves, according to five ingredients of rasa. The recipe of rasa is given. Vibhava, Stayibhava, Anubhava, Satika Bhava, and Vyabhichari Bhava. That is for Bhakti Vaibhav. You can get some, you can download it. We had it here in Ljubljana and in Vrindavan. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj did it. Western has five rasas, five waves. Northern has seven waves, discussing seven secondary rasas and their mixture. And the first eastern wave that is for Bhakti Shastri has four waves. And this is probably the shortest wave, only one chapter. So what are the four waves of the eastern part? Huh? Samanya Bhakti. Then, and the Samanya is the most difficult to remember, because the rest three are just the three categories of Bhakti. And before Bhava? How do you get Bhava? Huh? Sadhana, yes. So these are the four waves. The eastern side, this is Samanya. Samanya means general description of Bhakti. Yeah. So here we have the definition of Bhakti. We have the six characteristics. So definition, we have, you know, these five elements of Bhakti. What is pure Bhakti? Then we have six qualities of pure Bhakti, yeah, according to Sadhana Bhava Prema. So that's given in the first wave. What else do we have in the first wave? Yeah, why Bhakti? Yeah, from this we have why Bhakti removes all miseries, the best way to remove all miseries. Hare Krishna. Why Bhakti is the best way to remove all miseries?
What?
Why Bhakti is the best way to remove all miseries? That's the question. Yeah, why? Because Bhakti removes
sins.
Even better.
Desires.
Even better. Suffering comes from sin. Sin comes from desire. But desire comes from ignorance. Yes. So that's why Bhakti is the best. It removes ignorance. It tells you not only you are not the body, not only you are spirit, it tells you even more. It tells you you are what? Servant of Krishna, yes. Eternal servant of Krishna. Yes, so that's the first way. Then sadhana. Bhava, and today we have prema. Yes. Anybody remembers how do you define sadhana? Using mind and senses.
Senses to reach bhava.
Yes, to reach bhava, to attain bhava, exactly. So we have the goal, bhava. It's a very important detail. First of all, mind is there. It's not just with the body. And second of all, even deeper, heart is there, the goal. 2 days ago, I got a realization. If you remember in Maharaja's class, Nitai Doya asked a question. I have heard this 4,000, Maharaj said, 4,000 times, and still my heart has not transformed. Yeah? It struck me. So why is that? So it struck me that it so neatly matches with the definition of sadhana. Why has not my heart transformed? Because I didn't want it. Yes. To the extent that was not my goal. I got everything I wanted, actually. Isn't it? We got everything we wanted. And because what we meditate upon, that we get. So as I chant, as I come to the temple, do I meditate? Oh yes, let me reach ecstatic love. Maybe once in 3 months. So to the extent that this is my, what I meditate upon, that I get. So this is why it's so important. Yeah? Kriti sadhya, sadhya bhava, sa sadhana vidadet. Sadhana is defined through the goal. Sadhya bhava. Must have bhava as a goal, ecstatic love as a goal. Otherwise, we can do bahu janma kureyati. We can do thousands of lives and get all kinds of things, any kinds of everything, anything and everything. What do we ask for? We get what we ask for. To the extent we pray for ecstatic love, we practice. We practice this intention, anukulyana, to that extent we increase, to that extent we develop bhava. It just struck me. Yeah? Okay, so sadhana. Sadhana is defined through the goal. And so we practice. Okay, then we have, this is the biggest part in the first wave, because we have all the chapters describing, so that was the definition. Then we have a description what is not part of sadhana. In the beginning and in the end. If anybody remembers what is not part of sadhana bhakti? Kli. Huh? Alenka? You said something? Yes, it's amazing how many times Rupa Goswami repeats Varnashrama is not part of sadhana bhakti. And it's very clear when you see how sadhana bhakti is defined. Sadhana bhakti is that which is aimed at bhava. So varnashram, how is it connected with bhava? It has no... Of course, all if it's a part of all my daily activities, I aim at Krishna, at bhava. Okay, then it's part of Krishna artakila cheshta. Or Krishnarte akila cheshta, yes. All activities, for all endeavors for Krishna. Then, okay. We need to offer everything. Not doesn't mean that varnashrama is bad or anything, but it's just not part of, it's not sadhana in itself. And then at the end we heard jnana and vairagya and yama niyama, all these nice good qualities. However good they are not sadhana, because they in themselves do not help us develop ecstatic love for Krishna. Then five most powerful. What are the five most powerful forms of bhakti? Residing in Mathura, Bhagavatam, Archanam, holy name, and Sadhusanga, yes. So we have 64 elements listed there. And bhava, you remember the definition of bhava? Two parts of the main ingredient and the secondary ingredient? Ecstatic, yeah, that's ecstatic love. But yes, we had a definition that bhava is when something happens. What happens? Well, anartha nivritti also purified. Yes, begins to melt, yes. So it is what? So we have the heart and... And what? One ray, yes, it begins to melt. Yeah. So when it completely melts, that's prema. But when, we can actually make this like this. Yeah. So prema, the sun, and then, one ray touches the heart, and then it starts melting. Yeah. Masrinitam, prema suryamshu suryabhag, masrinita. It becomes melted like masla, masrinita. So that's the primary, a ray of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, transcendence, touches the heart. And the secondary is that ecstasy, that's the secondary ecstasy coming from the heart melting in three tastes, as we discussed. taste Ruchi Bhi's three desires. Desires to meet Krishna, please Krishna, and have a heart-to-heart exchange. Three desires. Okay. So then... melting is the second part. The main part is invisible. This is the ray. This is the main part. And then the visible, this is the secondary. That's heart melting in ecstasy. That's secondary. And then how Rupa Goswami suggests we can see that one is on a level of Bhava. Anybody remembers? How does he say you can actually judge that somebody is on a level of Bhava? By what? Exactly, nine qualities, nine characteristics, exactly. Because ecstasy, one can either suppress ecstasy, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did when he met Ramananda Roy, or can imitate also, right? So that's not a really reliable symptom. But these nine characteristics of a person, character, which are qualities of a character of somebody in bhava, they are reliable. They are trustworthy. You can trust that they are really showing that somebody is on that platform. And those nine, anybody remembers? Huh? Tolerant, yes, that's kshantir. Kshantir. So kshantir, then next. Kshantir. I think it's part of that tolerance, that's steadiness, yes. Virakti, detachment. Kshantir avyarta kalatvam. Avyarta kalatvam means time, not wasting time. Kala means time. Avyarta kalatvam, viraktir, and then mana shunyata. Mana shunyata means we don't have too much abhiman. Man, it's man. I think, oh, I'm so important. That's man. Yes? And this is shunyata. So if somebody wants shunyata, this is the shunyata we want. No man.
This not be happy and not be...
being equipoised. Yes. This, I think this is also kshanti, right? Perseverance. It's there. Yes. It's also interesting, it's one of the first 20 elements. Not to be disturbed by good and bad. Okay. Kshantir, avyarta kalatam, viraktir, manashunyata. And then, any other... You remember? So this is four. We have five more. Ashabandha, yes. Attachment to hope, yes. Strong attachment to hope. That you never give up hope, no matter what. That, yes, I may be the most terrible piece of dirt, but Krishna is stronger than that. Krishna is stronger, and Krishna consciousness is better, and they will transform me. Krishna is kinder. Then no matter what maya I am in. Yeah, Ashabandha. And any other? So that's six. Three more. No, five. Four more. Yes, namagane sadaruchi. Yes, always having taste for chanting the names. Exactly, yes. Three more. Attachment to tadgunakyane, to discussions of Krishna's qualities. Tadgunakyane. Asakti tadgunakyane. Okay, two more. Yes, residing priti stad vasati sthale, love for his dham, for Krishna's place of pastimes. Yes, and one more was samutkantha, enthusiasm or great enthusiasm for devotional service. So these are the nine characteristics. We have them in chapter 18 listed. And we have also this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. All right. So then, now we have any questions on this so far? Any questions, Prince?
Prema is dead if you don't have
Usually it is mentioned that we need mercy of usually of Krishna's devotees for getting this ray of bhava, of shuddha sattva. That's the normal system. Although sometimes Krishna will do this himself. Sometimes. It may also happen like this. But also you can see that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami translates this definition of sadhana as nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabunoi shravanadi shuddha chitte koroye udoi. That it's always existing, it's always present, and by hearing and chanting it rises. So those from Radha Kund, they try to give some fancy explanation, saying that no, it's not your prema, it's our prema. Then you come to us, you know, give a donation, and then we give you, you know, and then it rises. But it makes no sense. It's not how Srila Prabhupada translates it. He says no, it's in the heart, and also it makes no sense in the logic of the verse, because the verse says that it says kriti sadhya. Kriti sadhya means you perform bhakti with the senses and mind, and perform sounds artificial. Actually, the word kriti in Sanskrit, very similar to kritri, means imitate. It sounds artificial. We have this expression, fake it till you make it. Yeah? So that sounds like that. So therefore, immediately Rupa Goswami denies. He says, no, it's not artificial. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hridi sadhyata. And so bhava or ecstatic love is eternally siddha, eternally perfect, eternally existing. It's not artificial. So if it was from outside, it would be still artificial. It would be still not mine, not something from outside. Imposition, not my eternal nature. Makes no sense. So Prabhupada very clearly says that it's in your heart, and again, it rises. Yeah? It's not poured from outside. It rises by hearing and chanting about Krishna. We need mercy. So we heard the three ways, by words, glance, and wishes, that we can get special mercy. Yeah? And then bhava rises. So kripa siddhi and sadhana siddhi. So still, bhava bhakti is rare, so there is a certain approval needed. So usually it's easiest to get with the help of devotees. The devotees will recommend, and then as Prabhupada says, that Radharani is very kind, so therefore you should always offer the flower not to Krishna directly, but put it in Radharani's hand, and then Radharani says, and then Krishna cannot refuse. And he says that Radharani says, "Oh, Krishna, look, this devotee wants to serve you. He's better than me. Please accept his service." And Prabhupada says, "Even if I'm a rascal, Krishna has to accept me." Prabhupada says very clearly. So that's why he says, in Vrindavan, everybody worships Radharani. And everybody says, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. Prabhupada glorifies this. So by recommendation of, Radharani, that's very exalted, but also... The whole Guru Parampara, all the devotees, associates of Krishna, they give some recommendation. We have a description how in Narahari Sharkar, he has a bhajan, how Guru brings the disciple to the Parampara, to the Panchatattva, and then recommends, and then they give him blessings, engage him in eternal service. So that's some very special occurrence. Both sides. It's our prema, but then to finally unlock it, to get this transcendental connection from the other side, we need special mercy also. Any other points here? Okay, so then we have prema and the nine steps in this last chapter. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, when one's desire to love Krishna in one's particular relationship becomes intensified, this is known as pure love of Godhead. In the beginning, a devotee is engaged in the regulative principles of devotional service by the order of his spiritual master. When one thereby becomes completely purified of all material contamination, there develop an attachment and taste for devotional service. So you can see, this describes bhajana kriya, and then anartha nivritti, purified, and then one is steady, nishta, and then attachment and taste, ruchi and asakti. This taste and attachment, when gradually intensified in the course of time, become love. So that's bhava and prema. This the word love can be actually applied only in relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, love is not applicable at all. What goes under the name of love in the material world is nothing but lust. There is a gulf of difference between love and lust, like the difference between gold and iron. Hare Krishna. So this is a strong statement that there is, and it can be misunderstood both ways, to both sides. What are two possible misapplications of this statement about love in this world? Love in this world. So what is one possible misuse of this statement that there is no love in this world? In this world is only lust, no love in this world. How can this be misused? Do you see this sometimes misused by devotees? How is it misused?
Justifying? Yeah.
What?
Let's say I want something, and through this I try to get.
Hare Krishna.
And I justify what I want through that.
Welcome. Okay. How else? What else can you justify? How about justifying cruelty, a lack of indifference or lack of care about family members? Yes, even lack of care about fellow devotees. There is no love. Love in this world, love is only with Krishna. So therefore, you all, I don't care. No, you know, only me and Krishna. It fits very easily with the mood of a Kanishta Bhakta. It's very convenient. Madhavananda Prabhu was saying that he's going around and giving nice seminars. What was his seminar? I forgot. Anyway, he was saying that devotees should develop friendship and loving relationships. And then somewhere in Ukraine, some devotee said, but we heard that love is possible only with Krishna. So why should you develop loving relationships with devotees? It's only with, Prabhupada says, only with Krishna. Right? It's in the Shastra, it's in the book, page 143. And we have seen that under this slogan, so many people justified so many things in their lives. So, how would you explain that we should not be cruel to devotees? If Prabhupada says there is no love in this world, only lust. So how, why should we care about each other? Yes, that's what Prabhupada says on page 13, or yes, before, two times. That Krishna means Krishna and his devotees and his energies. Right? So if you really understand Krishna, if you really worship Krishna, how can you be cruel to his particles? Not only that, this is one of the offenses. Not only that, this is one of the principles of devotional service, to be respectful to all. Not only that, this is one of the definitions of a true devotee, Madhyam Bhakta, Maitri. He makes friends with devotees. Yes?
Krishna loves devotees.
Yeah, Krishna loves devotees. Exactly, yes. Devotees are very dear to Krishna.
You serve devotees and care.
Yes. Exactly, exactly. Yes, Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but he who is devotee of my devotee, he is a real devotee. Krishna is devotee of his devotees. When we say Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha, before or after the class, that includes Krishna. Krishna is a Vaishnava, you know? Shukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto says, Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. Bhagavan is Bhakta of his Bhaktas. So Krishna is a perfect Vaishnava. He also has tilak. Radha Ramana Krishna. Radha Ramana Krishna. So if we want to serve Krishna, how can we be cruel or neglectful to his devotees? Yes. Oh, and the other side is, of course, So this, you can see that there are sort of two sides. One is some kind of impersonal Mayavad with artificial renunciation, and the other side is some kind of Sahajya, justifying our sense enjoyment again with Krishna consciousness. So the other side would be to say that, yeah, they are all Krishna's part, so just my enjoying with devotees, that's very Krishna conscious, so like Sahajiyas do, and you know, have been doing for 500 years, practicing Sahajiyas. So that's the other side, which is refuted here. Okay, now, isn't there some true love? Aren't there some cases where you have somebody like Romeo and Juliet? 2 days ago, I saw the car Alfa Romeo, and it was called Giulietta. And I thought, wow, that's funny. who cannot live without each other, and who, that's the definition of prema. One of the definitions of prema, that nothing can stop it. No obstacle can stop it. So so many obstacles were between them, but that could not stop it. Even death could not stop it. So isn't that something like, and apparently it's based on a true story, and there have been quite a few stories like this. So isn't that, isn't there some true love in this world?
In the beginning, it's always true love.
Yes, yes, yeah. As they say, that it stops at the very proper moment, yes? If they actually got married and then they went to buy the frying pans, they could see what would happen next. No, we should buy this. No, we should buy that. And things would devolve from there. Yes. Somebody made a joke. Was it Tolstoy who made a joke that every comedy ends with a happy end is the marriage, and every tragedy begins with marriage. In drama. Okay, but aren't there also some loving families where they have been able to either develop or transform romantic love into family love? Or let's say Prabhupada says that the purest form of love is mother's love for the children, that she can forgive everything and she's always kind to the children. Isn't that pure love also? So why does Prabhupada say that there is no love here? It's similar, yes. 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 What's the difference between love for Krishna or love in Krishna consciousness, even if it's like caring for Krishna's devotees, and materialistic, even the purest possible love for relatives or for family members, for the spouse, even if it's, you know. Yes, not the same result. Yes, not the same result. It ends. So this is called, it's the same 12 rasas as in Vaikuntha or in the spiritual world, but the object is dying. The object is temporary. The object is imperfect. Yeah? So therefore the result will be different. Krishna is, yes, yes. So there is no, in Krishna there is no limit, yes?
The materialist always expects something.
Yeah, there is some expectation, yes. We see that sometimes even the person is really ready to serve the other with such a surrender, it seems, and love. But when the other shows some independent independence, like for example the husband or the wife, they want somebody else, we cannot tolerate this. We would rather them die. So many this is two main causes of death, or murder. Two main causes: passion and money. I don't think there is any other, and accident, but passion and money, greed. These are two main causes. Yeah, so that's one sign that shows. And so desire to control, desire to possess, and then desire for some outcome. Yeah? That often, this is one of the reasons why there is a conflict between parents and teenagers, because the parents have a very clear plan what they want from the children. They know exactly what they expect, or at least in general. He does this, that. And basically, that's treating the person like an object, not as a person. Right? That's why they rebel. Oh, he treats me like an object. So that's why we rebel as teenagers. That's one of the reasons. Anyway, this is a large topic, because we can, as I said, we can go both ways in making mistakes here. We can either be insensitive and cruel, even to devotees, or we can be artificially, we can justify sense enjoyment with Krishna consciousness. It's been done in history both ways. So two dangers. The impersonal Mayavad and materialistic Sahaja. As we have heard, Bhukti and Mukti. Yes, two witches always, one is always saying, enjoy, enjoy. And then we try and try and we suffer so much, then the other says, become liberated, merge. Oh, yeah, okay, it's too much. So Rupa Goswami says we need to stop listening to both of them to do bhakti. Neither enjoy nor renounce, but loving service to Krishna. That's the only proper action. Any points here? Questions? Comments? Okay, so it continues. Prabhupada says, in the Narada Pancharatra, it is clearly stated that when lust is completely transferred to the Supreme Godhead and the concept of kinship is completely reposed in Him, such is accepted as pure love of God by great authorities like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava and Narada. So this is the this kinship, sorotstvo, how you call it? It's also called in Sanskrit not so visible. Mamata, mineness. Moistvo, I don't know. Krishna is mine. So this kinship is completely reposed in Krishna. Krishna is mine. And I'm Krishna's. Krishna. Then again, great authorities like Bhishma have explained that love of Godhead means completely giving up so-called love for any other person. According to Bhishma, love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person, withdrawing all affinities for any other person. This pure love can be transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead under two conditions: out of ecstasy and out of causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So out of ecstasy, ecstasy is the name for, what's the Sanskrit for ecstasy here? Bhava, yes, as the next step after bhava. So basically means continuation of sadhana, right? So sadhana, siddha, brings to bhava, and then bhava will mature into prema. So the definition will be of the heart totally melted. Samyak masrinita. Sandra bhava. So by condensed bhava, the heart is completely melted. So this is, condensed ecstasy. And then the heart completely melts. Se roztopi. Topi. Kako? Kako pravilno? Se? Stopi, okay. Yeah, the heart completely melts. Samyak masrinita. Masrinita, again, like maslo. Yeah? Masrinita. It's completely in the sun. melts. Becomes very liquid. It easily flows in ecstasy. Easily moves. Who has ever tried to cut butter from the freezer? Have you tried? Take a butter from the freezer. cannot cut. You have a knife. You have a knife and it's so hard to cut. So that's our heart. Of course, there is a trick for this. What's the trick?
Warm.
What? Warm?
Knife.
Yeah, you can hit the knife. Can hit the knife. So that's sadhusanga. It can cut through the conditioning. But still, we need to melt afterwards. It still needs to melt. What else? What was that? Some more? Secrets? Yeah, one of the name for a cook in Sanskrit is rasagya. He knows the tastes. Rasagya. And you can see most of our rasacharyas have been very good cooks. It's very much connected. Taste is also rasa in Sanskrit. Okay, so two kinds through sadhana. So sadhana siddhi and then kripa siddhi or mercy, special mercy. So here we have two subheadings: ecstasy. Prabhupada says, ecstatic love of Godhead can be potently invoked simply by following the rules and regulations of devotional service as they are prescribed in scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. So we have a verse from the 11th canto, Evam Jatanurago, that one awakens anuraga and then dances like madman. And the other one is spontaneous affection. So this is, you can see, one is Vaidhi Bhakti, the other is Raga Bhakti, Raga Sadhana, Raganuga Sadhana. And we have the example of Chandrakanti. So we see that in the previous chapter we heard that she was dancing. She did not desire to accept anyone else as her husband. She had firmly decided that only Lord Krishna would be her husband. So you can see, this is called Raganuga, meaning that she knows her relationship with Krishna. She's very clear what she wants. So that means, that's one of the definitions of Raganuga. You follow some devotees in some specific rasa in the spiritual world. In Vrindavan, especially. And then there are some examples of Kripa Siddhas, those who attain perfection by some special mercy. So some examples given, some gopis are given, who did not study the Vedas, so that's Krishna himself, but then there are also, sometimes Prahlad Maharaj is given as an example, because at least in this life he didn't do much sadhana. He basically got mercy, right? Even in the past life, it says that he just swept the abandoned temple on Nrisimha Chaturdashi. He swept it, he cleaned it, and then he had a complete falling out quarrel with his girlfriend, and so he didn't eat and didn't sleep in anger the whole night. So Krishna counted this, okay, fasting and keeping a night vigil in Nrisimha temple. Jiva Goswami quotes this in Bhakti Sandarbha. And then next life he's Prahlad Maharaj. And before he's born, he gets all instruction in a womb. He cannot even, you know, cannot run away. He cannot just hear. And he becomes perfect. So he's given as one of the examples. Then Vritrasura is given as another example. Bali sometimes. The grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and Brahmapatnis, the wives of the Yagika Brahmanas. And so after that, the Yagika Brahmanas cursed their rituals because they did not develop love of Godhead, whereas their wives were able to give up all attachments just to feed Krishna, to serve Krishna. Yes. If you remember the tenth canto, very special story. So. Of course, from the acharyas we hear how did they develop such love for Krishna was by how did they get, whose mercy did they get to develop such love for Krishna? Guru. Well, they did not take even initiation, so who was their guru or gurus? It is explained that they were on the outskirts of between Mathura and Vrindavan, and the Braja Gopikas would bring milk products and flowers to them, and they would come and they would gossip about Krishna and they would hear Krishna Katha from the Braja Gopikas, and just by hearing they developed such attraction to Krishna that when Krishna just sent his friends to get prasadam, they just dropped everything and went to feed Krishna and his friends. So they are given as one of the examples of Kripa Siddhi. Not actually purposefully doing some sadhana, but getting perfection. Again, what argument did Prabhupada give about counting on Kripa Siddhi? On perfection by mercy, what argument did he, what example did he give? An argument?
What not to expect for yourself.
Yes.
Like, do you expect to, you have a special, like, 3-degree?
Yes.
Some university,
yes,
like,
yes.
So,
yes, yes. It's like expecting that university, you can see that if somebody becomes a very famous, I think Rabindranath Tagore, he got some honorary PhD, and most of famous writers, they usually get some honorary PhD. even if they never finished their school, they get in because you know they become super successful, and it's an acknowledgement of their level. But you can see they are not. Prabhupada says this is not the normal case, and even in that case, still they do something. They are not just lying on a sofa doing nothing. Yes? Even in that case, they do something to get this honorary degree. I was thinking of some example. Ah, yeah, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj got a PhD from the University of Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia after he gave some seminars there. Right? So you can see, yeah, look, see, you can go to Mongolia, give lectures there, and maybe they will give you a PhD, honorary PhD. But you can see that he's been giving seminars all his life. He's not just, you know, doing nothing. He's been studying and teaching for the last 40 or 50 years. Still, even in that case, it's not from nothing. And it's quite possible that he is even a better teacher than some of the professors in that university. He's been teaching for 50 years almost. And studying. I remember, like Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, you can see that I have heard most amazing things in his lectures, that whenever he finds something interesting, he tries to teach it. He tries to repeat it. Quite unexpectedly. Yeah? Sometimes he seems to be somewhat like very self-controlled. But I've heard the most amazing lectures from him. He's been teaching all kinds of nice things, important things. So they gave him the PhD, honorary PhD. So we need mercy. That's for sure. We need mercy anyway. But there is much more likelihood. It's much more likely that we will get it if we actually try to get it, right? And sadhana, yes, if we do sadhana. And sadhana means, again, that we declare, this is what I want. I want bhava. I want ecstatic love for Krishna. If not, we will get all the other things we want, but not bhava. That's one of the reasons why it's rare. This is one of the reasons. Because we don't have asakti, we don't have a desire, strong desire. So why would we get it? We don't want it. For us, it's like, you know, number 347 in our list of desires. What should I get? Maybe a new phone. Maybe good, some friendship. Yeah, maybe some, a new computer, yeah. A car, okay. A house, what else? What is that? Maybe, good voice for kirtan, maybe, yes? That sounds good. And then, Krishna Prema, yes. So, in that order, we will get it. That's the order how it will come. And it's getting pushed down again and again, yes. So until it comes to number one, why would Krishna, you know, it's number 347, why would he give it? If that's number 347, so he will give you number 2, number 1, number 10, he will give you these. Then, when it comes to the top 10, okay, Krishna will take interest. Uh-huh. So how to push it up? Oh, so this is the whole process, right? Sadhusanga, Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, and so forth. And then Asakti, that means that Bhava and Prema are in top 10, or rather top 1. Then Krishna decides, okay, are you sure? Maybe I'll give you mystic powers. How about that? How about the kingdom? How about a kingdom? No. Are you sure? A good kingdom? A planet? How about a universe? Would you like a universe?
No.
You can do anything, you know, anything in this universe. You can create a universe and then make them all Krishna conscious. What will you say? Sounds like a good service, no?
Well, the problem is because Krishna is giving you tests, and those tests are heavy sometimes. So that's why you want liberation.
Yeah. You know, so what if Krishna tells you, actually, this we see, this is what Maya Devi tells Gop Kumar. She says, hey, no need to go any further. I will completely support you. Let's make this universe Krishna conscious. I will help you. She does. She actually offers this. This is the last covering, the very last covering of the universe. So what will you say? You will get this offer on the way. So what will you say?
No.
Why? Why no? It's a service.
It means we stay in material world.
So what? For service you can do anything.
But it may be not pleasing to Krishna.
Depends on how you do this. If you do this for Krishna's... We are preaching anyway. We are preaching mission. Yes. So Krishna says, I love... Nobody will be more dear to me than the preacher. Not ultimate aim. Okay. Well, but that sounds like somewhat official. That okay, in our party line, this is not the ultimate aim. So how do you, you know, put some heart into it, make it more convincing, even more convincing?
Maybe when we are on such a stage, maybe somehow.
Yes,
this
is what I would say, you know, how can I give prema if I don't have prema? How can I make the whole universe filled with love if I don't have this love? So sorry, let me first, you know, and if I have, even asakti, you know, not even bhava, but asakti means I am burning with desire to meet Krishna and have a constant heart-to-heart exchange with him, even at asakti. So, material or not material, that's secondary. But first, let me, you know, get full prema. I want to be with Krishna, serve Krishna, do everything for Krishna. If he tells me, I will do. No problem. But first, let me do this for Krishna.
But before the last cover, I think you already need to have prema or his bhava. You cannot come there.
Bhava, yeah. Bhava is to... Well, the last cover, you probably could theoretically reach with asakti. But to cross, I would say bhava probably is needed. To cross out. Because bhava is the technical liberation. That means you're technically completely free. Bhava. You're connected to transcendence and you are free from matter. Yes. Okay. So prema, yes, coming after sadhana and coming as a result of our sadhana bhakti. Also, Nisi Prabhupada says about liberation. I tried to learn the verse today. Yadrichaya labdham api to Hanuman from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, quoted from Narada Vyuha, I think. And also we have this here. Yadrichaya labdham api Vishnor dasharatestuya naichan moksham vina dasyam tasmai hanumate namaha. You know the translation, right? Tasmai hanumate namaha, which, who, naichan moksham. What does it mean? Naichan. Ni hoche. Naichan. Noche subudita. Yeah. Naichan moksham vina dasyam. Vina dasyam, without dasyam, without service. Even if it's given directly by Lord Ram, Vishnor dasharathes tuya. Yadrichaya himself, he offers liberation. No. If there's not, if it's not in service to you, why should I So none of the four, not the first kind, merging definitely never, he never wants. But even the higher ones, he's not interested if it's not within his service, if it's not connected with his service. So, two witches, bhukti and mukti. So prema is free from that. Okay, questions, comments, points here?
Vamshidas Babaji. How I can understand he didn't follow sadhana too much?
Well, he was already a siddha. He was already he did follow something in the beginning, but then when he's already totally absorbed in love, it doesn't matter what he follows or doesn't follow. Raganuga, it doesn't. You see, Raganuga is not really related to these nine stages. In some rare cases, it can start together with Shraddha. Yeah. One can get Ragamaya Shraddha, as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in Ragavartma Chandrika. This is, of course, according to Madhusudan Goswami, more rare than having bhava, this Ragamaya Shraddha. More rare than bhava. And bhava is already more rare than being a sage who flies through the cosmos. so it is not cheap, but it's possible. Then, of course, between Asakti and bhava, then one is supposed, because we read about Vrindavan Krishna, we are supposed to do bhakti based on raga, not on fear of material existence, duty, logic, shastra, and so forth. So raga is also sadhana, raganuga sadhana. And then raganuga sadhana will produce raganuga bhava and will produce ragamaya prema. So raganuga is just means you are attached to Vrindavan Krishna in some specific rasa, okay. Right? So, or more generally, it's not motivated by the usual five motives of Vaidhi Bhakti, meaning not motivated by fear of material existence, logic, shastra, order of the guru, and duty. These are the usual motivations. So it means, as you say, actually just emotion. You just like it. So no special reason. You just like it. That's why it's called spontaneous. They're all spontaneous. Even in Vaidhi Bhakti from Shraddha, you will be spontaneous. Even before Shraddha, you can be spontaneous. You come to the temple, you try Taralakshmi Mataji's pizza burek, spontaneously you feel taste, you know. Much before Shraddha. Isn't it? Or come to Radha Govinda, take something there. Spontaneously you're attracted. Meaning, no reason for that. No separate reason. So even in Vaidhi, and then you can take Shraddha and, you know, Sadhu Sangha, come to Radha Govinda every day. And on Monday you are already worried, you feel already, you know, some deprivation, prasadam deprivation. So it will also be spontaneous. But when we say spontaneous bhakti in the sense of raganuga bhakti, it means that it's not motivated by... So in other words, this spontaneous is used in somewhat technical sense, not in a general sense that it's spontaneous. Because Vaidhi will also be spontaneous. But raga is totally spontaneous, means that it's totally motivated by attraction to some relationship with Krishna. And Prabhupada, of course, says that we should not try to practice it before Anartha Nivritti is finished, because we will usually be misled by the false ego, and we will not really follow our eternal taste, but we will try to imagine something, and that's not a proper way to advance. Is it okay? Okay. Something else? Some more points? Yes? Yes. Yeah. So. Exactly correct. Yeah, that's true. What's the question?
Very simple.
Yes, very simple. True. So?
But a lot of people are waiting and they don't show.
Yeah. That's also true. So, I think three conditions are there. One is Shraddha. One is faith. The other is niraparadatva, not having offenses. And one other is icha, desire. If these three are there, then it works instantly. Otherwise, I think, was it Prabhupada quoting this Kolkata saying that every day thousands of prostitutes bathe in Ganga? I think it's a Kolkata saying, right? Kolkata saying. But they still remain in their business, not developing, not moving anywhere. So this is also, but still, do you who has taken a bath in Radhakund? Did you feel some special influence, some special emotion from? Did you feel? Or in the Yamuna, who has taken bath? Did you feel some special emotion from? Yes, yes. Yes, just coming to the shore. Rupa Goswami says that when you simply hear the name Yamuna, it slackens the knot of your karma. When you just remember Yamuna, it unties the knot of your karma. When you come to the bank of the Yamuna, it removes your sins. When you put a drop of the Yamuna, it puts the end to samsara. And when you take bath in the Yamuna, it gives you prema. Because Yamuna is one of those indiscriminate, totally indiscriminate devotees. There are five famous devotees in Vrindavan who can give you prema without looking. Are you qualified or not? They just give. So you can feel it. I mean, so just by coming to the shore of the Yamuna, you feel, as you say, kakubite božala, yeah, as if she caresses. What is this feeling? This is the feeling of liberation. That's liberation. You're free. Some cares go away. Some anxiety goes away. You're free. That's moksha. But we go back and we look. Where is my care? What was I thinking about? This. Okay, come back. And then we take back. It says that when somebody goes into the Yamuna, all the sins jump off. And they sit on the shore. And they wait and look. Will he forget us? And then we come out. And we start thinking, what was I thinking about? What should I worry about? I should worry. We first need to be worried. We first need to be depressed. And then we look for the reason. Why am I worried? Probably because of this. Actually, it's just a state. It's a state. So they look. Oh, he wants us. And they, okay. And they jump on our back. But it slackens the connection. So if you do this long enough, we will see, what is this? Why when I bathe I feel happy, when I come out I don't feel happy? Can I stay in that? So therefore it says in the Bhagavatam several times that by Ganga Snan, Yamuna Snan, after many years and lifetimes you become purified. But by Sadhu Sangha it can happen in an instant. Because sadhus will tell you why. Sadhus will tell you how. It will work, but it will take time. The example is given as burning. Who has ever started a fire? Fire. Are you able to start a fire with one match? Who has ever been able to start a fire with one match? Yes. Yes. Did you ever have trouble, had to use more than one match? Yes. So, why? So you can see that it doesn't always start easily. It can be too big a load, too much load, and it can be wet. When it's burning, you can put anything, it will burn. But when you start, if it is big, wet, it's hard to start. So in the same way, when we take bath and do these auspicious things, same with the Bhagavatam, same with the deity, same with Sadhu Sangha, same with chanting Hare Krishna. It's enough to do one time. But it's like a heavy, wet log. But every match you put, every time you do this, it becomes a little more dry. A little more dry. And then it catches. Then it becomes warmer, 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 and then it can start the fire. So three things: Shraddha, Niraparadhatva, and Nicha. Also, you know, do I take bath thinking of Krishna Prema, or do I want something else? Do I take bath to just take bath, or just because it's the rule, or because it's a ritual, or because I want to be free, or something, right? So what, again, same thing as why Krishna doesn't give bhava immediately to everybody. Because we don't want. Because for us it's number 347 or more. If it is number one, then one bath, finished. It can give you. If it's number 27, then okay, five baths. It goes up and up and up and up and up. And then, ta-da, you get Prema. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Alright, so then the last... Actually, you can see Prabhupada recommends Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita here, saying that the path of bhakti is very nicely described, very explicitly described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Also, we have a sign that Narada Pancharatra, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, "My dear Supreme Goddess, you may know from me that any person who has developed the ecstasy of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who is always merged in transcendental bliss on account of this love cannot even perceive the material distress or happiness coming from the body or mind." So therefore, on the stage of prema, somebody suffers, it's our illusion. When we think that a Premi Bhakta suffers, like the gopis. It seems that they suffer, doesn't it? But they don't. Sanatana Goswami therefore says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Tatratyamya chayad dukham sa narinarti sa soka sa sarva sukha murudasu krishnananda baropari. The suffering of in Vrindavan dances on the head of all happiness and is bigger than a mountain of all possible ananda. So it's an illusion to, it's just like a spice, you know. Like we know, we have the experience, oh, bitter is suffering. In some languages it's even connected, the word. Grenko, do you have something? Gore. In some languages you have gore, gorko, something connected with suffering. Yeah, so bitter and suffering is connected, right? But this is the taste which makes most favorite sweet for everybody, the chocolate or carob cakes or bitter. If you don't have bitter, there is no chocolate. Without bitter, there is no chocolate. And everybody likes chocolate. So, therefore, without that apparent suffering, there is no Vrindavan. It looks like suffering, but it's just a flavor to make it more tasty. If you just have sweet, how much sugar can you eat? I mean, you don't want to eat sugar. Do you? I mean, sugar, unless you're starving, but even then, how much sugar you will eat? But you add something bitter to it, you add something sour, and you can eat many plates. And if you are feasting, you know, you eat salty, then you eat sweet, you feel, I've eaten enough salty, yeah? Then what do? You eat sweet. And then you feel, I've eaten enough sweet. Then what do? You eat salty again. Right? And then you've eaten salty, then you can eat sweet again. Right? Then you can eat salty again. This you can go on for hours. I can testify that's what young brahmacharis did in the BBT feast. We would swap stories about Krishna and continue for hours. If you do the proper sequence, sweet, sour, sweet, sour, sweet, salty, sweet, salty. And that's also how Krishna eats in Vrindavan. There are different schools, you know. What we eat, salty and sweet, that's the Bengali school. But Gujarati school is sweet and then salty. That's if you eat a lot of sweet. And you start with the sweet because it's more hard to burn. So you first eat the sweet. If sweet starts burning, then the salty will burn. No problem. So that's the Gujarati school. But Vrindavan school, Krishna school, this is salty sweet, salty sweet, salty sweet. It's, you know, it goes on no end. Can go as long as your stomach allows, and because Krishna is unlimited, you know, so no problem. You can go for the night of Brahma. So it's not suffering there. It's not suffering, it's just a variety. So this is the point Krishna makes here, or Srila Prabhupada makes here, Shiva quoting Shiva's statement to Parvati. And if we see Premi Bhakta suffering, it's not really suffering. That's why we need to study, that's why we need the 9 cantos before the 10th canto, to not make this mistake. To not mistake their Vyabhichari Bhava, their bitter transitory emotion for suffering. It's just, you know, the flavor to make it more interesting in the spiritual world. To make the sweet more attractive. To make the sweet last forever. Okay. All right. So, yes?
It's just a question regarding relationships. Does Krishna, because Krishna, he has a transcendental body, and we are in the material world, and we are suffering here because of whatever. Does Krishna know about suffering, how we suffer, if not like Vrindavan, of course not, but does he know about our pain or whatever? Because he's transcendental, how he can relate with our material suffer, which we are experiencing sometimes?
Yes, so some devotees say he cannot be compassionate. How can he doesn't know how we suffer. Because he doesn't have material body, how can he be compassionate? Some acharyas even give this argument. They bring this up. But Krishna is described as the most merciful everywhere. The most merciful. And mercy is defined in the first canto as inability to tolerate others' suffering. Krishna cannot tolerate our suffering. So in the same Raghavart Machandrika, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur brings this point from a slightly different angle. He says, Krishna in Vrindavan, he just dances with the gopis. So when we pray to him, does he even hear? Because he's dancing with the gopis. Why should he hear to some conditioned soul in some, you know, forgotten material corner, some dirty soul in a forgotten material, probably some Paramatma he listens only, isn't it? So then he says, no. For Krishna, there is no problem. He's God. So he can be simultaneously mugdhatma, bewildered, absorbed in his rasa exchange, and at the same time, he's always sarvagya, he knows everything. He's never not sarvagya. He's never not all-knowing. He always knows everything. So therefore, he hears all of our prayers. He hears all of our prayers, and because he's all-knowing, so how can he not know also our suffering? Maybe it's not as direct as somebody with a material body, but he still knows what we feel, because we can feel anything only with his sanction, only through his consciousness. Whatever we feel, he's the eye of the eye, he's the ear of the ear, he is the consciousness of our consciousness. He's the one who is the transmitter or conduit. He's the connector between matter and spirit. So whatever we feel by His grace. So He knows everything. So no problem. He is compassionate, and He knows, and He hears. The Krishna directly, not Paramatma. And for a Krishna devotee, Bhagavatam says, 284, that when you start hearing the Bhagavatam, Krishna slips through your ear and sits on the lotus of your heart. So it's no longer Paramatma. It's Krishna, Radha Krishna. So for a devotee, so Sarvatra Prachara Hoya Nija Ishtadeva Spurti. A devotee sees not Paramatma, but Ishtadev, Nija Ishtadev, his own worshipable Lord, beloved Lord everywhere. Radha Krishna for us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, so the last point is something I expect everybody to know already. If you don't know this, even if you answer every other question in the exam, you will not be given a diploma. Because this is such a basic knowledge for every devotee, the nine stages of development. And Prabhupada repeats it so many times. In the Gita, only in the Gita, he repeats this at least two times, if not more, with the Sanskrit and everything. That we are supposed to learn it on week two of our connection with Krishna consciousness. So we would feel ashamed if somebody got a Bhakti Shastri diploma without knowing these nine. You could, even if you have 100% on every other question, every other exam. But if you don't know this, how can we give you the diploma? You know, it's so, it's, we would be ashamed. You know, it's because a new Bhakti knows this. So what about Bhakti Shastri? So this is what Prabhupada describes here. Although many different processes for developing love of Godhead have been explained so far, Srila Rupa Goswami now gives us a general description of how one can best achieve such a high position. The beginning of ecstatic love of Godhead is basically faith, yes, Shraddha. There are many societies and associations of pure devotees. And if someone with just a little faith begins to associate with such societies, his advancement to pure devotional service is rapid. The influence of, so that's sadhu sangha, association, sangha. The influence of a pure devotee is such that if someone comes to associate with him with a little faith, one gets the chance of hearing about the Lord from authoritative scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's called, in Sanskrit, Bhajana Kriya, performance of devotional service, yeah? Practical performance. Thus, by the mercy of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, one gradually develops his faith in the descriptions of such authoritative scriptures. This is the first stage of association with pure devotees. In the second stage, after one becomes a little advanced and mature, he automatically offers to follow the principles of devotional service, and under the guidance of the pure devotee, accepts him as a spiritual master. In the next stage, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the devotee executes regulative devotional service, Bhajana Kriya, and as a result of such activities, he becomes freed from all unwanted occupations. Anartha Nivritti. Also, please note that Prabhupada says, not unwanted qualities, not unwanted thoughts, not unwanted characteristics, but how does he say? Occupations. And again, Prabhupada makes it very practical. If you are able to abstain from the undesired action, then this is anartha nivritti. And then gradually the consciousness will be purified also. When he is freed from unwanted occupations, his faith becomes steadily fixed. Yeah, so steadily fixed. Nishta. Steadily fixed faith. And he develops a transcendental taste. Ruchi. Yeah, so if you're fixed, you're not wavering all around the universe, so then you get taste. Then attachment. Then ecstasies. So attachment, asakti. Ecstasies, bhava. And in the last stage, there is pure love of Godhead, prema. So these are the 9 stages. Any questions here? Any comments? Any points? On this? You can study these, you can read about these in the Madhurya Kadambini, a very beautiful book by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. We have, I think, 3 or 4 different translations in English. I think also we have it in Croatian and in Slovenian. I don't know. I don't think we have. Here is a fantastic business opportunity for somebody to publish it in Croatian, in Slovenian. Slovenian language, Slovenian. All right. Srila Rupa Goswami thus concludes the first division of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, offering up his treatise for the transcendental pleasure of Sanatana Goswami, who has established the transcendental beauty, and of Gopal Bada Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bada Goswami, and Raghunath Dasa Goswami. It appears from the statement that the great Srila Jiva Goswami was not yet active when Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta summary study of the first division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu up to the descriptions of ecstatic love of Godhead, which are to follow next. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Congratulations. So, this concludes our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu study. Then, unless we have some other decision,